What's up, guys? This is Uriah Faber, the California Kid, here with Greg Conley, serial entrepreneur, founder of Trifecta Nutrition. We're talking about everything under the sun, fitness, entertainment, and of course, business, making that money. What's up, guys? We're here, episode two. I'm fresh off of a week in Vegas, which is always nuts. A bunch of cool things happened. I was inducted to the Hall of Fame, which was awesome.
Yeah, congrats again.
Gave a speech just kind of off the cuff. Pulled from the hip on that one, and it went all right.
Nice.
And did a Snoop cast, the first one, where basically Snoop was high as fuck, and I was trying to dodge through the fumes and call some fights, which was cool. But I want to get right into this. Greg, you know, this is a bunch of cool stuff that we're covering here. One of the coolest and most interesting to me and you is business, and we just closed a Series A, which is a big deal for the company, for Trifecta. So why don't you give a little info about what that means exactly and what that means for us.
Absolutely. So one of the things that personally drives me nuts about podcasts is usually there is not enough actual content teaching people about a specific topic. And we definitely want to make this podcast, you know, fundamentally different on that front. So Trifecta is going through kind of the final stages of our closing of our Series A right now, which is usually the first major round of financing for a business. So for most businesses, it's kind of friends and family in the beginning. You call your rich uncle and go, hey, can I borrow 20 G's to get this company off the ground? Maybe your parents. Usually that's smaller amounts of funds, you know, less than 100,000. Then oftentimes
in the hood, you sell drugs.
Yeah, exactly. You flip a couple dime bags. Don't do that, kids. And then after that, there's sometimes what's called a seed round, which is, you know, you're talking to angel investors. You meet a rich guy like Mark Haney, and you know,
you get a good little concept, and you can sell someone on it. Like, look at our vision. Here it is.
Exactly. So you're starting to get some traction in the business. Maybe you have some sales, but it hasn't taken off yet. And that's usually your seed round of financing. That can range from, you know, 50,000 up to, you know, sometimes as much as a million for more promising companies. And then after that comes what they call series financing. So that's, you know, Series A, Series B. It can go all the way to, you know, Series G, F, et cetera. And for Trifecta, we're still a really new company. We're coming up on our 2-year anniversary next month. And, you know, in the first 23 months, we've grown tremendously. And because of that, we're finally able to close a Series A. It's going to be a, you know, pretty significant financing for us, you know, several million dollars. And, you know, we're obviously going to do press releases. We got the Forbes reporters, all that type of stuff, which is great for the press side of the fence. But for entrepreneurs, just really kind of understanding those stages of financing is absolutely critical. Because when you first start your business, you're like, holy fuck, you know, I don't know how to go out and close a $5 million Series A when you have no sales. And it's really, you know, about doing the type of financing that makes sense for that stage of the business. So
yeah, so that's a big deal for us. And I mean, it's cool for those who are listening and interested and want to know about business, etc. That's some valuable information. And it can, you know, it happens all the time without people understanding. I know I had my first sponsor was Sid and Jeremy Dunmore, and they came from a fairly wealthy family, and they got real creative on their first way of funding their business, etc. And it ended up being a crazy ordeal. But as a kid, they've always learning how to hustle. And I remember a story where Sid had went to his father and said, hey, look, if I raise 50% of the money, can you pay and match me and help me buy this Mercedes that I really want? I mean, these are very first world problems, right? But
nice.
So his dad said, all right, if you can raise the money, if you earn the money for the first portion, I will match you. And then he went to his grandpa and was like, listen, if I can raise the money
nice,
and pay for half the car, will you match the other side of it? And so there he goes. He went and you know, skied around, but got the job done and creatively got some cash and got himself a Mercedes. But that kind of ingenuity is something that an entrepreneur starts from a very young age a lot of times. But understanding the little pieces makes a big difference. So that's cool for me, even knowing that, you know, what the things are called and kind of how they generally come from, you know, from people you know, to being able to sell an idea, to showing some profit and some potential to becoming a big company. And so that Series A is just the very beginning. We've got some big plans to go beyond that, and almost like a guarantee beyond that as well once we reach some thresholds. So
exactly. Yeah. So, you know, beyond that, investors care about like milestones. Can you hit XYZ millions in sales in order to get a Series B over the fence? So we've got a commitment on a Series B, which is a, you know, significantly larger financing round where, you know, we're getting into the eight figures at that point, you know, the Jay-Z style money. And that is absolutely a, you know, a critical piece for the people at each financing round. So having milestones that the company is going to hit in order to get to the next round. But, you know, yeah. Speaking of business,
yeah.
Finally opened the gym.
Yes.
You want to give us the update on the new facility? I've seen it. It's sick. You guys should all check it out.
Doing our press conference about the next level of our company there at the new gym. And I'm telling you, this thing's beautiful. And it's funny because when people think about the gym, they think about the fight team, obviously Team Alpha Male, which lives inside the gym, and world champions, etc. But like, this gym is like a custom home. It's top finishes on wood. Like, you go into the bathrooms, and the all the benches are custom cool wood, and you got kids and families and dance classes and you know, CrossFit and TRX and all these different elements that you probably wouldn't think of. We're actually working on putting a Vibe and Liquidology health bar at the up top portion, and
the cafe
has been kicking butt. I mean, I've learned so much in a short period of time about business, going from the gym that I was running, which I started when I really didn't understand anything about business and didn't have a name in the sport, to what we have just pulled off and opened this brand new big facility, over 1,400 members now. We just had our first EFT drop, which, you know, I'm learning about what that looks like and everything else. But the energy and the culture in the gym is amazing. And we've talked a lot about building the culture with Trifecta as well.
Absolutely.
Which means some pool parties and rewarding our employees.
Yep.
and
wine tasting,
all that good stuff, as we have more success. But, you know, I'm pretty happy with the way everything is going around and being associated with a bunch of different brands.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I've been a part of Trifecta because I believe in it. I love what it's about. It's about healthy food. It's about using the most, you know, as entrepreneurs and as busy folks, your time is so valuable. So being able to have this nutrition on hand is big. I've got the health bars that I'm part of, and now the Purist Labs Nutrition, which is a supplement company, which has been killing it, and I'm a partner in, and somebody that invested in as well. So I'm like covering all the facets, and that's it's been an exciting time.
Yeah, absolutely. No, we got a special guest we're gonna bring on from Purist in a second here, but we can't get through this podcast without hearing a little bit more about the Snoop cast. You gotta tell us what it was like hanging out with Snoop. Everybody in the office here was watching the Instagram stories, and
yeah,
he looks like a fucking hilarious guy. So
dude, I'm gonna tell you, Snoop Dogg is a character. First off, talk about a businessman on top of being a talented performer, etc. I mean, mm-hmm. he understands business, but I mean, that dude can chain smoke some blunts. It's incredible.
And it sounded like he got permission to fire up on set there.
So this is us just kind of flying from the hip, and Snoop wanted some direction from the producers, which they were they didn't know if he was just going to want to roll with it or
sure.
whatnot. But we had to like play within some thresholds of this person's going to talk here and this person's going to talk here. But we're an option on the UFC Fight Pass for commentary. So I'm the knowledge and Snoop is the color. And we kind of mixed together, and we're sipping on gin and juice, one of his brands actually, which was
during
legendary for me. Oh yeah, we had a bottle of gin and some pineapple juice, and
nice.
Just laid back, kicking it, mind on our money. And halfway through, he's like, "Man, what's the break? How much time do we have?" It was like a 4-minute break in between sets, and he's like, "I'm gonna go down to my room, my trailer, and you know, get some." Yeah, I was doing pre-workout. I was doing condensed Purist pre-workout for my prep, and he was smoking J's.
Peach Optimos.
So he was gonna roll down and the 4-minute break, and then the producer's like, "Hey Snoop, Dana said it's cool if you just blaze up in here." And he's like, "What?" 911, bring me my blunts. And he sent his dude out. And next thing you know, I'm like, I was doing everything in my power to keep my mind straight.
To stay
focused. I mean, he was just like, it was just hot boxing. I guarantee the fighters downstairs were getting a little,
a little whiff of clouds, it, at least. Yeah.
But there were some beautiful fights. We had one of our guys who fought that night. He lost, pretty Ricky. But he fought an amazing fight, and there were some great fights that night, and then got to hang with Snoop, man.
And what's the kind of context behind the show? I know it's called Dana White's Contender, but is it similar to Ultimate Fighter, or is it Ultimate Fighter just in the new UFC facility, or what's the premise behind it?
It's basically a fast-forward version of the Ultimate Fighter. So the Ultimate Fighter weeds out a group of guys that live together over a period of time, and mm-hmm. and basically, you know, the top dogs get to fight at the very end for a chance to be in the UFC. This is an opportunity, and you can give out one contract, no contracts, 10 contracts, for Dana to see these fighters fight and to award them with a contract in the UFC. So on that night, two guys got contracts with the UFC, and out of the 10 fighters that fought, and it was just basically a tryout, really. Mm-hmm. It's like an audition. Like, here's your opportunity. You're going to get in. You're going to fight another top dog, perform well, and win the fight, and you get signed.
Nice.
And so it's basically not a guaranteed thing, but you have, you know, me and Snoop are watching. You have it broadcast on the Fight Pass, which is the online version of the UFC's, mm-hmm. website. Then we have Dana White, Lawrence Epstein, Craig Borsari, the matchmakers. They're all there. It's a tryout. All the executives are there, mm-hmm. and you're like literally fighting for your dream. So, and then Snoop and I are just an option. If people want to tune in and hang out with us while we watch the fights and get some commentary and check it out, they're welcome to do it.
Nice. And that's actually something I want you to talk about on the business side. So when I first met Uriah, I was surprised at the elements of fighters kind of coming up through the MMA ranks that I didn't understand. I thought the UFC had like this big recruiting program and all of that. And, you know, I can see where this show would make sense. But for stuff like Team Alpha Male, it was clear to me in the beginning, you know, you were texting Dana, you were texting other people, like, almost like marketing the fighters to the
lobbyists.
You know, yeah, exactly. To the powers at be at the UFC to, you know, get some of your guys a chance at, you know, this fight or that fight. And I think a lot of people that are kind of, you know, coming up in the MMA world, like, don't understand the value of being associated with the team and having someone like yourself that is exactly what you were saying, you know, almost lobbying the UFC to be able to get your fighters those fights.
It's just like anything else. I mean, it's when luck meets preparation, that's when big things happen. So, you know, first and foremost, it's Team Alpha Male is just a breeding ground for studs, but it's survival of the fittest. Mm-hmm. I mean, you're in that room. It's not like I don't choose who's the top dog in that room. It rises, you know, it happens on its own. That's what people don't understand a lot of times. Like, I see a lot of guys, because I've had a management company for a lot of years, for, you know, 11 years now, I've had a management company and managed guys as high as, you know, Chael Sonnen and Paige VanZant and Chad Mendes and, mm-hmm. and you know, Anthony Pettis and guys like that, on top of, you know, bringing guys up from the very bottom, from zero fights to their first fight in local scenes, et cetera. And it really is, you know, I can do my part, but it doesn't matter unless this person is doing what they need to do and they're winning, et cetera. Those opportunities happen for them. But it does count to have someone lobbying for you. It's like,
oh, absolutely.
If a tree falls in the woods, does it make a sound? It's that kind of gig, you know? Like,
yeah.
You got the toughest guy in the world. Nobody cares.
Or knows of him.
I mean, he's got to be real resourceful. When not everyone is a fighter. That, you mm-hmm. know, there's a lot of guys that can fight. There's a lot of guys that can talk. There's a lot of guys that are marketable. There's a lot of guys that look the part. But finding someone that can do it all together is just a different story. So what I've been able to do is scout talent, identify talent, mm-hmm. help build it, and be able to lobby and build relationships and get them into the bigger show. So that's kind of way it is. But there's great fighters that still lose on the local circuit, and it's all about you know, creating that, that you know, the idea that this might be one of the baddest dudes on the planet. I tell my guys all the time, if you're going to throw, I said, you're here for one reason. You're not here to come hang out, this and that. Everyone has their different reason. Maybe it's cool for you to be in the room with this team. Maybe it's cool for you. But the guys that are serious about this, you're taking your hat off and you're throwing it in a pile and saying, I'm the baddest dude mm-hmm. on the planet and I'm here to prove it. And that mentality is what needs to stick. And then you have to, you know, make adjustments along the way. Oh, well, I'm getting my butt kicked in wrestling. Oh, well, I'm getting submitted daily. Okay, well, those are things I need to fix because I'm the baddest dude on the planet. I'm the baddest dude.
There's only one, only one champion.
There's only one, yeah. And we've had quite a few that have come through our gym.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's a real interesting dynamic. But the truth is, it's got to be something that a person does on their own.
For
you
sure.
can help along the way, but you got to, you know, you got to do it on your own.
Yeah.
And that means training smart, getting yourself in the right gym, getting yourself with the right people, winning your fights, taking it serious outside of the octagon, et cetera, et cetera.
Yeah.
Which is, you know, all part of it. And I think, you know, with that being said, there's so many different aspects to the game. Nutrition, which we're you know, talking about. And our next guest, who's not only an athlete, who's
yeah,
a guru.
He's pretty hugged.
Yeah, he's all right. He's all right. Let's not get carried away.
He probably looks okay with the shirt
Let's
off.
Let's not get carried away. But he is an athlete at a high level, you know, semi-pro football player, former bodybuilder. Also, a very accomplished entrepreneur, somebody that understands the struggle of being a businessman, kind of a visionary, a real leader, a ton of energy. We might have to calm him down when he comes up here.
Give him the trank dart on stage.
But this guy has got a lot of cool businesses, and I want to have him talk about his first business, Purist Labs, which I'm a partner in, Formulife, which is a really cool company that services a lot of other companies, and then also some of his hobbies like the construction world, like we're all kind of in when we become entrepreneurs. So let's welcome my boy Brandon to the stage.
Get him on up here.
Owner, founder of Purist Labs and Formulife, and a beast.
Sir, what do? I hop in the middle here?
Yeah, let's get you in the middle.
My first podcast.
We'll have questions coming from both sides just to stress you out.
I'm getting double teamed here. Okay, let's do this.
Yeah,
the voices are so much clearer now.
Yeah, so here's your mic. You got your audio control and everything.
So, Brandon, just real quick, why don't you give kind of a brief overview on Purist Labs, how you started with that, and then kind of how Formulife got started.
Absolutely. Purist Labs, I got that started back in about 2008. I was a sales rep for one of the largest companies in the industry. It was the second largest distributor in the industry, and we were selling, you know, 3,000 different products. So I'm selling everybody's everything. And I'm an avid athlete at that point, bodybuilder looking for the best stuff. And, you know, my job as a sales rep is to call and get these accounts all around the country, mom and pop stores, to use me. Believe me, buy your supplements from me, not from somebody else. So, you know, I just kind of, with my personality, got my way in. And then kind of niched myself a little bit as a guru, I guess. I hate that word, but that's kind of what they
Come
would
on.
They would refer to me as
I hate to say I'm the best in the world.
No,
I'm he's like, this thing's on, right? The best.
Yeah, the best. Yeah. I'm a smorgasbord of other people's knowledge. I'm very well read and well listened to, and I just kind of pull from everybody else before me that did badass things and then kind of do this and anecdotally come up with my own and then regurgitate it to everybody else, and they seem to like it. So anyway, I decided at that point that all these other lines were crap, and I didn't even have what I wanted to fuel my body through my athletic career, much less selling my what had become my friends and the clients online. I was like, man, you know, I'm telling them to buy this. I really didn't. So I just went to my partner, or at that time they weren't my partners, my bosses, with the crazy idea, and I'm like, I'm leaving. And they're like, whoa, what's going on? You've only been here like 6 months. And I'm like, I'm going to start my own line. I was young enough, dumb enough, broke enough. I literally had no money. I'm like, I'm going to start my own
Crazy
line.
Crazy enough.
That's a real entrepreneur spirit.
Yeah. And they literally were like, hold on.
That's how it happens.
They were like, we'd rather be your partner than your competition. So they said, just keep coming to that same office every day. Tomorrow, we'll just change the phone number and you're Purist Labs tomorrow. And so, well, at that time, I didn't even have the name.
Oh, so they got behind you.
Yeah. They didn't want me to leave and go just start something on my own. Because I said, guys, worse now. Now the new common practice is distributors, you know, own several lines that they sell now.
Like, yeah, you go, no, it's smart. It's, it, you know, it makes sense because then they have, you know, that additional profit margin, you know, that for those lines that they're pushing. So,
and when you've got 800 reps on the phone and you kind of come in and have a sales meeting every morning and tell them exactly what to push, then that's a good thing. Now that's commonplace. Back then they didn't necessarily have a brand. So I was like, dude, you guys will be the only carrier. We'll sell it through here. I'll beat up the phones. I had a good relationship with the people there, the sales reps and things, and it worked. And that's where we're at now. We've grown it since then. About a year into that, I'm a vertically integrated kind of guy. I'm like,
yeah. So I got to hear about the manufacturing facility.
Oh, this thing's amazing.
I saw Uriah doing the Instagram stories out there visiting. So, you know, give us a little mental tour of the madness that goes into manufacturing.
That was a workout. I'm telling you, like, I had no clue. Once again, young enough, dumb enough, broke enough. I go to him and I'm like, hey, y'all are getting a new building. Pyrus had been out about a year. I think the first year I did like, I don't know, 1.2 million or something like that. So I'm like, hey, so we have Pyrus, cool. Yeah, y'all are getting this new building. So y'all are going to get a lot of square footage, right? And they're going to pay for the build out, give you all this TI. I'm like, can I have the edge? I'm like, give me 5,000 square feet. I'm going to manufacture stuff. And they're like, they didn't say no. They go, well, how do you know how to do that? I was just like, I can do it. Just trust me. It's like baking a cake. You add a shitload of ingredients that I come up with. We blend them. We fill them. It's no problem. Whew, man, did I.
That was the biggest underestimation in history.
Man, did I underestimate it. It has been nothing but work. But I'm telling you, we've grown it to a very large size, as you've seen. Matter of fact, I don't even know if I got to tell you, but we're signing on another piece of concrete. We haven't even been in the new facility a year. We opened a 45,000 square foot manufacturing facility in Allen, Texas, and it hasn't even been a year, and we're getting 22,000 square feet down the street to do a large smoothie contract and organic. So we're organic certified now.
Nice.
So now we're doing greens, blends.
Welcome to the team.
Yeah.
There you go. I'm crossing over to the other side from sports to the wellness and greens.
It's a bunch of hippies. We need to get you some hair back on your head.
Yeah,
and some peace signs.
Yeah, and apparently I need to hang out with Snoop, get me a few doobies, and like grow some hair. I'll get some tie-dye. But literally, it's just been crazy. We've grown like nuts. So Pyrus, Formulife, like you said, the construction company. I do cabins, vacation.
Yeah, what is that?
Cabins.
You do cabins? They're high-end cabins.
Yeah, so my partner and CFO who's always backed me, a guy named Chuck Lechman, he kind of
Chuck's
like,
my boy, man. His daughter's an incredible singer, by the way. I think she's going to make it.
She's got something on iTunes. Some stuff on yeah, that. She's yeah. got something on iTunes right now. So yeah, great family. He's got like 5 kids, but he's always been a backer of mine. And I just kind of told him like, hey, it's really hot in this one particular market, Broken Bow, Oklahoma. There's I love to go to the woods and just ride razors and chill out and stuff. So anyway, shooting guns, hanging out. So I told him about that. We got a cabin. After probably 6 months, I kind of did the same thing as Pyrus Formula. I bought somebody else's cabin, started renting it out. We started making decent money, and I'm like, I'm just going to get a crew together and build my own after that. So then I started building them. So I got a crew together up there in Oklahoma, and I just started building. So now we kind of keep one a year and rent out, and then we build and sell the mm-hmm. rest of them. But I
got a little property management company
dude, I
going
love that.
Now.
I mean, the consistent thing I keep hearing from him is like seeing something, believing you're going to do it, not being afraid to attack it, and finding the right partners and the right people to give responsibilities to. But like, I just love that mentality. It's like, oh, someone did this? I think I could do that. All right, I'm going to do it. You know, that's something that you can't necessarily teach, but I think for people watching, you have to know, like, that's a big part of entrepreneurship is just believing that you can and not being afraid of failure, knowing it's going to be a very difficult task and you have to problem solve. And I'm sure throughout your time as business, you've seen a ton of problems and had to put out fires and had to make adjustments and things like that. What's been the hardest struggle for you as an entrepreneur working on all these different projects?
I think time, number one. I had to learn how to manage my time a lot better with 2 kids and coaching all their sports teams. You know, I have to be the head coach. I can't be the assistant coach. I gotta do
yeah,
it all.
It's like me as an assistant type.
No, so I'm coaching football. We have the Pyrus, you know, Raiders. We have the Pyrus Ponytail Express. We have all these, you know, little teams. And I think just learning how to manage my schedule, getting the right people, that was tough. Human capital is always tough to find the people that you can rely on and build that foundation around. And then financing, like you guys touched on earlier, we've been fortunate enough to grow to the size that we are without having to seek any kind of serious financing. The door-to-door knocking on relatives and stuff, we did that for long enough, and then we had enough I get just business partners like that sold Lone Star. Some of our business partners had some exits during the growth of the company, mm-hmm. and they were able to give us funds that we needed and things like that. So we haven't had to really go out and do the series thing yet. But in the beginning, raising the mom and dad kind of capital, I mean, it was like monthly. You're like, oh, we got to come up with, back then, 150 grand. Well, that's a lot of money back then. You're like, how are we going to? And then the next month, it was something else. And you just keep going. You don't think about it. You just find it. And you just, the next time you find it again, and the next time you just find it again. There's no excuse and there's no option. You just find
Absolutely.
It.
Absolutely. And that's, so there's two things I want to stop you on right there. One is, one of the things you just said is like one of the most important fundraising tips, I think, for people, that you end up finding the financing in places that you would never expect. For you, it was like, you know, previous partners of yours, they had exits, they had some, you know, some liquid capital that they were able to invest in the business. I mean, I've met investors in the craziest places you can possibly imagine. I sat next to a guy on a Southwest flight from Long Beach to San Francisco, and he was in a, you know, Hawaiian shirt. He had like a, you know, a pack of cigarettes rolled up in his sleeves, you know, full beard and everything, shorts. And we happened to sit right next to each other in the front row of the plane. And, you know, we were bullshitting about basic stuff like the weather. And then, you know, one conversation led to another. And I figured out he had just sold a business for, you know, I don't know exactly how much, but north of 10 million. And he, you know, in that conversation was like, yeah, I love what you're doing with your business. Let's talk. I'd be interested in investing, et cetera, et cetera. So you never know where you're going to find investors. Be nice to everybody you meet, because they may be rich as fuck and you have no idea. And then suddenly they're going to invest in your company. So I don't want to cut you off, but I feel like absolutely, like when it comes to fundraising, because that's something we're talking about a lot, like people have to have that mindset that anybody they meet could be a potential investor. And you don't necessarily want to be selling them all, but just talking about what you're doing like we do, people end up getting interested, they ask questions, and then that leads to them potentially investing.
And I think you know when it's a good fit too. I think entrepreneurs, they like when they bump into the random person on the plane that has a cool business. As an entrepreneur, I mean, that's what we do. We love to find diamonds in the rough, things that are laying over there that were discarded or maybe an afterthought or weren't properly handled in somebody's passion and intensity. And you listen and you're like, well, heck, man. I mean, you might find you a little nugget. They need help. And then you can help them, and then you make yourself money too. So I
reciprocity.
Think, yeah. Yep, and just exactly. looking for it in weird places. I know, like with other businesses that I help out in, I do too. Like we sit here and talk, and the next thing you know, I don't go out looking for things to invest in. I just live, and then you bump into somebody. There's a million cool business ideas out there that are mishandled. You're just going to bump into someone eventually that's got one, and then you don't even have to really go look very far. Everybody wants to be their own boss. Everybody wants to do what we're doing, right? So there's a plenty of people that don't know how to do it, though, but they do have the foundation and idea, and then we come in and help it.
So yeah. Let me ask you this.
Absolutely.
I know as an athlete, you're an athlete as well, you understand about coaches, and as a business guy, and obviously in life, you need people that steer you in the right direction. I've had a bunch of, on the business side, some people that I've really learned a lot from. You know, Mark Haney, who we mentioned earlier, is one of those guys, somebody that's part of my EO group, and I've learned a lot from him. Scott James, who you know well.
Yeah.
And there's a list of people that I've learned from, trying to learn from everyone, but I've always, you know, been picking people's brains. John Saka, Paul Petrovic, Pete Jeremia. These are guys that I've been learning from. Who are some folks that you've learned from on the business standpoint that have been kind of mentors for you? Or is it something you've always had to just kind of find out on your own?
I feel like a lot of it, I've just kept my head down and I just grind and I kind of figure it out on my own. But there have been a lot of impactful people, I would say, not just along the way. I mean, from the partners I mentioned, the, you know, John Hoffman, Chuck Letchman, some of the guys along the way that gave, that instilled, you know, faith and confidence in me and allowed me to go do what I do. But as far as someone that took me after I was given those tools and said, okay, here's how you should do it or not. I mean, I just went and did it. Whether I did it right or wrong, I don't know. But I just go every day. I just wake up and I go. And you have your ups and your downs. But when you're leading, you know, over 100 employees every day, you've got to stay on it. You just keep going, look for motivation in different places. I would say some of the people I listen to now for inspiration and things like that, it's not even so much business, even though they're business guys. I'm looking a little past that. Like I look at like the Superhuman Radio. I listen to a lot of those podcasts. I do, you know, Tim Ferriss, Mark Divine with Silfit. A lot of the guys that are have the athlete background that can do things. I think of a Navy SEAL. I listen to Mark Divine's podcast, but because I can't think of any more badass of a person to go, if I need to learn something, I need to learn to have the mental toughness of a fucking Navy SEAL. Like, yeah. Tell me you can't do some shit in business, life, kids. Oh, Johnny did this. Man, I'm a Navy SEAL. I can handle anything. So I'm like, what do these guys have that I don't, like, what is in their mind? How have they trained themselves through these, you know, rigorous fight sequences? You know, the sequences become second nature to you. You respond to that. You hit that. You do those things. That's how those guys are with their brain. So I'm trying to kind of now, like, study them and see what these other entrepreneurs that they bring on the show, you know, just how are y'all doing it?
Yeah, deconstructing their mindset to go, okay, this is why Tim Ferriss does the things that, you know, the way he does. The Navy SEALs, this is why they think that particular way. And that's actually part of, you know, a big part of military training for any branch is they – you know, they want to kind of break you down in the beginning with the boot camp so they can like build up your mindset right. In the right way so that you look at a problem like, holy fuck, we're about to march 30 miles with a 60-pound yeah. pack. And the new recruits would be like, you know, this is it. You know, I'm out. But the you know, the people that have been through training are like, all right, let's do this. You know, we can do anything as long as we never quit. So, right. Yeah.
One of our athletes, Andre Feely. Mm-hmm. Andre Touchy Feely.
Yeah.
He's one of the up and coming fighters in this planet. But he's one of those guys that exactly with the fight game had to break him down and build him up. When I first met him, he was like he was trying to calm me, like, yes, sir, no, oh, thank you for this opportunity, sir. I'm like, Feely, bro, just chill out. Just show up to practice, dude. Just show up to practice. He had an ankle monitor and like he was having trouble making the morning practices and he was doing all this stuff and it was like, you know, had to completely break him down. And until now, he's one of the guys that is first one in the morning and understand about the importance of regimen and the importance of you know, being yourself and like all these different things. And that happens. It has to happen, you know. And that's the same with the, you know, like you're talking about the military and everything else. And it's kind of a trip because it's those most open-minded folks that understand that the mind is like a infinite, you know, resource that have the most much. Success. And that's the only difference I've seen in these really successful people is just the mindset, believing that you can and not being afraid to do it. And it's kind of wild. I remember the first time I had my coach Lenny Zaleski in wrestling at UC Davis, and he was coached by Dan Gable, the most successful coach, the most successful wrestler of all time in the U.S. Won the Olympics and didn't have 1 point scored against him. Right, and we all get together, and he says, you know, it was 2 years into my college career that he came in, or 3 years into my college career, and he said, "All right, guys, shake hands, 30-minute go," and everybody like a match is 7 minutes. You usually go like 3 minutes and 2 minutes and 2 minutes and this and that. And he's like, 30-minute go, where you're battling another human being for 30 minutes in a wrestling scenario, which isn't even what you have to do, and everybody's like, "What do you mean?" And he's like, 30-minute go. And he's like, 30-minute, what do you mean? He's like, 30-minute go, wrestling, go. And then you look around at the end of the day, after that 30 minutes, there's always one guy that broke and one guy that's on top. And yep. that was the lesson. The lesson was this is not just a technical thing. It's a mental battle. And that's what entrepreneurship is. That's what business is. That's what life is about, right? Getting back up. So
I was listening to a Navy SEAL the other day that said something along those same lines. It was on a different podcast, and he talks about your buds and the surf training. Same thing. He's like, man, one time we did something. Oh, no, he told me it was during, or not told, but I was listening. It was like during the 9/11 happened while he was in buds. He said everything changed that day. The next morning they woke up, get in the surf, and they said, everybody lock up. We're staying here till 3 quit. And they sat there until 3 people, the baddest mother effers in the world, they're Navy SEALs. We're staying here till 3 of the most mentally tough people on the planet break. Can you imagine what that morning went like in the cold ocean? We're going to break when 3 of y'all, not 1, but 3 of y'all, I'm like, oh my, that is that battle of wills that if I'm going to go to war with you, I want a dude that made it through that because yeah. I don't even know if I could make it through that. Like, but I want to know that the dude that's got my 6 is that dude, you know?
Yep, absolutely. No, 100%. And that, I feel like a big piece of that mindset, because I think exactly like both of you do on it, and oftentimes when I'm faced with a particularly big problem in business, whether it's like the early stage startup stuff or the raising money stuff or bringing on a huge account stuff, I try and think like, okay, what would, you know, Richard Branson do in this situation? What would Elon Musk do? What would Steve Jobs do? You know, thinking, trying to like deconstruct what a extremely good entrepreneur would do, you know, and obviously with the Navy SEALs or, you know, any other branch of the military or even, you know, sports. You look at, you know, the NFL or, I mean, the CrossFit games that we talk about quite a bit, which is days straight of the most grueling workouts of all time. And it's a pure mental battle where you can just like check out mentally, and being able to kind of put yourself into that mindset. And I guess the one of the biggest tips I want to give people though is it's not something that's going to happen overnight. You know, you're not going to just like jump in and be a Navy SEAL. It's going to be you, like you did for your dude that you, you know, kind of broke down and built back up. It's them doing it incrementally, like, just show up, just come day after day, you know, try and train a little bit every day, try and stick to your diet a little bit more every day, try and work on your business or your personal training or, you know, whatever you have going on incrementally more each day. And then over time, all of a sudden you realize you're a badass or you're running, you know, multi-million dollar companies or, you know, whatever it is. And then you're going, okay, how do I get to, you know, 100 million? How do I get to a billion, et cetera, et cetera?
Yeah, the more we accomplish, the bigger we think, which is
absolutely
awesome.
Absolutely.
I mean, there's some people that start from day one, and this is always the envy of people that have extremely successful families that were raised the right way. I mean, what an edge to have. Mm-hmm. You know, I've got a great friend, Paul Schoen, who took, you know, flipping houses into now he's doing over $80 million in production in LA doing construction stuff. He's a young guy. He's 31, 32 years old. And, you know, I met with his dad, and his dad is a guru, you know, started a bank in Mexico City and has been, you know, doing all these different things, but didn't just, you know, hand over the keys. He's just been tutelage through, mm-hmm. through years and years of, you know, bringing that thing up. And so my school of hard knocks is like I'm just starting to get the grasp of it, but it's making me think bigger, making me, you know, I'm hanging out with all these guys that have jets. Like, I know a bunch of people that have jets. You know, it's like, you know, when am I going to get my jet?
How do I get
it? Yeah. And learning the business.
Jets are expensive.
I'm not one of his friends that has a jet.
Yeah, neither am I.
Well, they will be, though, if we want.
There you go.
Yeah, but it's been a cool process of you know, wanting, getting, thinking bigger. Getting, thinking bigger. And you know, I just encourage people at home, whenever I do give speeches or to anyone, is that same lesson.
Yeah, absolutely.
Just think big.
Yeah, and move through the kind of stages, you know, as they come type thing. You're not going to be Steve Jobs overnight. You know, you got to start with the, you know, the 5,000 square foot facility, then the 45,000, then the additional 22,000, and then it's going to be like a 250,000 square foot facility, and then you're, you know, one of the largest supplements manufacturers in the world. You know,
so let me ask you, big vision for Purist, big vision for. Formula Life, what is it? What does it look like?
I'd like to, with the Purist brand, what we're doing right now with Team Alpha Male, that's actually my goal, because I got into it as an athlete, and my goal would be to help a high-level class of athletes like you guys and like we're setting up and we're doing now. I mean, that's not directly sales dollars or anything, but, you know, once you've achieved a certain amount in business and sold some things, you start needing other things to fulfill you besides just sales dollars. You want to help. You know, we have our charities, we have our dog thing we do, and you know, I love nutrition and personal training and things like that. So getting to help you guys, I want more people to benefit from Purist. Sure, mm-hmm. I'm looking at the top and bottom lines constantly, and we've got to keep them driving up. But I'm looking at more of the impact we leave on the people now, the athletic community, the people we help, that kind of overall impact. And, you know, just being on that main stage with you guys and helping just gladiators. It's almost like taking, if I came out with a drill, how would I put that to the test? Go to the hardest construction site, try and drill through all this tough shit. Well, that's kind of how I look at my products. These guys are gladiators. They're drilling. They're banging. These NFL football players running full speed into each other, all that. My products are the drill. I'm testing them out in those arenas. They're holding up and they're making people better. So I want to keep doing that with that. And then on the Formula Life side, just grow. Just grow. There's so many brands that need a manufacturer. There's only about 200 manufacturers out there in the United States. and look at the pie. How many? There's about 200, really? And there's a $30 billion pie, and there's 200 of us that are making the stuff. I mean, I make my competition's products. I'll go in a GNC or a vitamin shop and have my product, and I make the three to the flank left and right, and I'm like, that's probably the overall goal is when I make that whole gondola of stuff, be like, all right. Because, like, if they sell, I made a buck. If that person picked up condensed, great. If they picked up C4, great. Stimulate, great. Doesn't matter. I'm getting to cut off all of that. So that's kind of the broad revenue stream. So
that being said, I'm sure there's a bunch of people watching that have their own ideas of supplements, or maybe they run their own business or whatever. How do they get in touch with you for you guys to get that business? Because that, I mean, I've been to the facility. It's incredible. This guy's a perfectionist. And, you know, from, you know, the vacuum system in there that makes sure there's no dust flopping around, to, you know, what people are wearing, to all the different little parts. I mean, it's a fine tuned operation.
Thank you.
So, you Uriah wants to know if you can get a vacuum system for above Snoop.
That'd help. That'd help me have a little bit clearer mind, that's for sure.
You figured he just had someone with a little just holding it by him, sucking all the smoke away. Oh man.
As far as contact goes, what's the process for someone to get a hold of you to use the facility or have you guys?
Yeah, because most people aren't going to be able to jump right to having their own manufacturing facility. They need a website, get a brand started. Like, how do they get started?
Absolutely. We have minimum order quantities, and we'll help anybody in the beginning as long as it meets our minimum order quantities for production. So to reach out to us, you literally just look up Formulife, 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 Formulife Manufacturing, and then just send us an email from there, and we'll get back with you, let you know our minimum order quantities, and as long as you can do those very fair minimum order quantities. We have a certain size blender. We have to blend a certain quantity.
Sure.
But if you can do that, you get the same level of help and support. You get me formulating your product, whether you're buying 100,000 bottles or 2,500 bottles. So we don't, you know, I help every single person that comes through, myself, my VP. You know, we don't go, oh, he's a small guy, he's a big guy. We were small once. We've had small brands that are monsters now. We have one brand in particular that started with us, and they're one of the largest brands on bodybuilding.com. And we literally started day one, formulated their first five products. They send us the label. It's out the door. It's been 4 years since then, and they're monsters now. They outgrew me. Like, they grew way faster. They did a great, great job. Yeah, so it's cool to watch other brands that you bring in and help go off and beat you. I mean, you know, you were a part of that beginning fire, and then they went off and just took it and killed it, and they're our biggest customer to this day. So, you know, that's cool.
It's awesome to see other people's success. And I mean, I've met so many people that see other people's success and are haters, and then there's so many people that celebrate alongside them and get motivated by that. And that's always the route to go, in my opinion. When
you see
somebody's success, and when we've talked about Trifecta, like, you know, some of the competitors and what they're making and what they're selling for, et cetera, it's pretty incredible. So I'm always like, let everything motivate you. And that's kind of cool to hear and know, like, look, you know, we've seen things happen at this point in life and at this point in business and relationships where things go from zero to hero, like, very quick. And it's cool to see that and then get motivated by it.
Yeah, absolutely.
Guys, we're, you know, as you all know, time is money.
Yep.
And we're very busy folks. So I hope everybody loves the new podcast. We're covering a lot of bases. Today was a little bit more business, but we've got a lot of interesting characters coming through. I think probably the next cast is we're going to try to get Cody Nolove, the current world champ, to come join us.
Yep.
And make sure you tune into the old episodes. And thank you, Brandon,
yes, sir,
for sharing some knowledge and being here with us. And Greg, pleasure as always, man. Killing it.
Absolutely. All right. We'll bring this one onto YouTube very shortly here. Thanks, guys.